Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hello, hello, hello. What's happening, everybody? How are you? Talk to me. Who's watching? Where are you watching from? And what do you want to talk about today? Today is live Q&A. Denise, hello from Michigan. Thank you for joining. Anything, you know, you're the first one that hopped on. So what would you like to talk about today? Look at that. How special are you? This was just, while I wait to hear, this is just one of those times where I guess we can learn from what's going on. I was going to do a podcast. I was going to record some podcasts. And I was like, hey, let's go live. And then Aubrey, who joins me, had some car problems. Of course, you know, not her fault. So I'm like, yeah, that's all right. I'll go live anyway. And then there was somebody that was visiting the property. So I started chatting a little bit and I knew I had plenty of time to go live. And you guys know me, I'm spur of the moment. So I didn't rush to get on here, you know, to figure out. And then I was like, oh, wait, I think I'm going to change the topic since Aubrey's not here, because the other topic I think would go better with somebody asking questions. So I was like, okay, well, so I'll just change the topic. And then my phone started blowing up from like four different people. And I was trying to get back to them, which I did for a little bit. But now here we are, and it's like there's issues going on with people. There's spur of the moment that, you know, the energy was just swirling 90 miles an hour. And here I am about to go live and I have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm like, well, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So just relax, you know? So let's see, Denise, what did Denise say? Living simply in nature in a small town. What would you like to know about it? I mean, yeah, that's what I like. You know, I like it too. I mean, I love living up in the mountains. I was just talking with somebody that's here on the property that is staying down near the beach, you know, and there's a big difference between the town down near the beach and the mountains. You know, there's just a lot more going on, obviously. And we're saying how, you know, they were saying that they like living up here. And I was like, yeah, me too. If I want to go down and interact, I'll go down and interact, you know. But in the meantime, I like living in a nice, peaceful area, removed from all the hustle and bustle that goes on, you know. And I mean, even the energy is different. You know, the energy in the mountains is, you know, mountains and streams. It's more of a peaceful, calming energy. Whereas down by the ocean, that ocean, man, is powerful. So it's so much power, you know, coming from the ocean, which is really helpful for me when I was living down there. It was helpful for purging a lot of energy. I cried a lot walking by the ocean. It's just so powerful. It felt like the energy was just pushing emotion right out of me, which was helpful, you know. But you know, but then you have my son who's over here now, and he, you know, at this point he's thinking, and we'll see if this changes, but he's thinking that he wants to live down by the beach, which I don't blame him. I mean, if I was 22, I'd want to live down by the beach too, you know? So he's down there checking it out now, living, not right in the middle of all the hustle and bustle that's down there. He's a little bit removed from it. Like, I don't know, maybe a 10 minute drive from the main stuff. So not too far. He can still access it, but you know, he's down there. And honestly, there's more of the, there's more of the typical conveniences down there. You know, everything's closer. Plus, a lot of places down there have air conditioning and, you know, and wired Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's nice. And he's got a pool to jump in, and, you know, there's certainly benefits for sure. Lots of partying though at the beach. Yeah, there is. He's not really a partier much, you know. He likes the social aspects, but he's not one to go out to the clubs and the bars all the time. It's just not his scene, which you know, which is interesting how different we are. Excuse me. I think it's the oxygen. I just been kind of, I went down to the river with my dog Faith, and we're just hanging out there, and I was outside, and there's so much oxygen out there. And then now I just came inside, and I kind of kept the window shut earlier because of the heat. It's pretty hot. And yeah, I think there's a little lack of oxygen. So bear with me. I'm not actually tired, but I am yawning a little bit. So, so for me to get to the ocean, it's probably about, well, to get down to where everything is, that where I usually go that has a big spiritual community and everything, it's about a 45 minute drive. So it's a little bit of a hike, but I'm sure everybody isn't too interested about hearing about my boring day-to-day life. What type of life coaching questions do we have? You know, like, so I think I'll, hey Sarah, yeah, I'm kind of doing a Q&A, so if you got any questions, fire them away. Yeah, it's like right before I got on, the energy was swirling. You know, I said my phone was blowing up and stuff, and I had no idea what I was going to talk about, and all the things want to start coming in. You know, Glenn, just don't go live. You know, you know, these people want you to answer questions. Don't they know that you have to go live? Of course they don't. You know. And so it's like all this, all the energy was swirling, and it wanted to take me over, and I wanted to, you know, that my ego wanted me to get upset and lean into the energy that was swirling. And I was just like, no. I'm not leaning into it. And then my ego wanted to go, like, it started going, yeah, but, and wanted to see, that's the trick your ego does, is it will tell you, like, if you try to lean away from the drama, it will start telling you why you should lean into it. And it's not just to trick you into leaning into it. Just by getting into a conversation with your ego about it, you're already leaned in. Right? So like if my brain goes, they want this, or you should answer these, and you know, this is important stuff, and you should answer. And if I go, well, no, not really, I should do this. Like, that's already me getting into a conversation with my ego. Like if I just respond to the thoughts that are going through my head, I'm already engaging. So basically I've already lost, because that's when we wake up like 10 minutes later and go, wait a minute, I'm completely immersed in this energy, this drama. How did I get here? You know, and that's like a helpful hint. Don't get into a conversation with yourself, because you're going to lose that conversation. Right? So as soon as it starts coming in and starts giving me the reasons why I should lean in, I'm just like, no, I'm just not leaning in. Yeah, but you should, because no, I'm just not. Yeah, but no, I'm just not. You know, and that is, for me, that is really an important part of not leaning in, not, you know, getting caught up in the unconsciousness that we all do from time to time. You know, often people ask me, you know, how to do that. And this is what I do is, I mean, I didn't necessarily do this today. I just was conscious enough to say, no, I'm not leaning in. I'm going to do this instead. Oh, that's the perfect topic for discussion. Good. See how it all works out. So I was conscious enough to just go, you know, and quite honestly, let's be honest here. The fact that I was going live in, I don't know, 2 minutes when this was coming at me probably helped, because I knew I didn't have time to think it over, you know, so that probably helped. Because I knew I had to make a decision right then, yes or no. And it was just, you know, look at drama or go live. Well, I've kind of already committed to going live, so I'm just going live. And I don't really like the way the drama feels anyway. So no. You know, so it was probably a little bit easier than normal situations because of the time crunch. I didn't really have much time to lean into the drama. So that probably helped me. But most situations, what I do is I create blanket statements. So ahead of time, like I don't wait until drama is trying to suck me in and then get into a conversation or a back and forth in my head and then see if I'm going to win, because I found that 90% of the time I'm going to lose that argument. Why? Because it's my unconscious that's driving it. There's a part of me from my past that wants to get caught up in the drama. There's a pull, right? And my ego knows me better than anybody, and it knows how to control me. So it knows how to push my buttons. It knows what to say to push my buttons so that I'll get sucked in. And I know that it knows how to push my buttons. So since it knows how to push my buttons, and if I get into a conversation with somebody that knows me better than I know myself in an emotional situation where I'm unconscious, I'm going to lose that. I'm going to lose that argument most of the time. There's a stronger pull into unconsciousness in the world and in our lives than there is to stay conscious. You know, otherwise we'd just be conscious all the time and we'd fall into unconsciousness every once in a while. And as a general rule, most people live unconsciously and they have moments of consciousness. So therefore our go-to, our norm is unconscious, you know? And I mean, I would venture to say that even my norm, I would probably say, you know, I don't know, I might have to do some thinking about this, but just off the top of my head, I would guess that I'm probably more unconscious than I am conscious throughout my entire day. Like if, you know, I mean, I'll go do the dishes. I'm not completely in the present moment. I'm thinking about something else. So therefore I'm unconscious, you know? So that's kind of more of the go-to. So if we're going to override that, you know, when we notice we have a choice, then what you want to do is lean away. So I create like blanket statements. So no, I'm not leaning. And most of it is just a no, you know, like, no, I'm not. If there's a question of whether to lean into drama or not, whether I should get upset or whether I shouldn't, anything like that, the answer is no. So if I have enough consciousness that will grab my awareness, and where if there's a question, you know, because sometimes you just find yourself unconscious, all pissed off, wrapped up in something. So you can't really control that because you're already in, you didn't even know how you got there. It was just completely unconscious. So those moments where you're conscious enough where the question comes up, or you notice that there's two different directions you can go, for me, the answer is always no. Because I found that, like, there's no good reason to get pissed off. And that's one of my ego's techniques if I get into a conversation with it. If there's a moment where I go, oh, should I lean into this? And you know, this is BS. And I go, wait a minute, Glenn. And he goes, well, you know, should I lean away from this or should I lean in? Like, if there's a little moment, like, that's not really the question that usually pops into my head, but I'm trying to put words to something that doesn't have words. It's just a moment where I'm conscious enough to make a choice. That's it. And when I'm conscious enough to make a choice, then, like, my ego will try talking me into getting sucked into the negativity. And if I listen to it, it will say things like, well, you should get pissed off about this, or you need to dive into the drama of this, because if you don't, then people are going to think they can walk all over you, and people will be walking all over you for the rest of your life if you don't take a stand now. Like, those are things that my ego uses to trigger me. And if I get into a conversation, I go, well, no, that's not really true. Like, they won't necessarily use this against me. Now I'm already sucked in, because now I'm having a conversation with myself, right? With my ego thinking it's me. Instead of me being in control, making the choice, I'm already in a conversation. So I'm already halfway in. That's why I don't get into those conversations. And it knows my triggers. So I'm not going to win a conversation with somebody, or you don't win conversations, but you guys are following me. I'm not going to win an argument with an entity that knows me inside and out and knows all my triggers, because they'll just go boop, 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 boop until it gets me. So I just go, it's a blanket statement that I've decided this ahead of time, that if I have a moment of awareness and I have a choice, it's always no. It's always lean away from the drama. It's always lean away from the anger. It's always lean away from any type of negativity. Just why? Because nothing good happens when I lean in. That's why. Nothing good happens. And nothing is that time sensitive. Like, I mean, unless you're being physically beaten, like, most situations, you don't have to handle them right then. You can just keep yourself calm while somebody is saying something rude to you, get yourself out of the situation. And if you don't know them, you're probably never going to see them again anyway, so who cares? But if they are in your life and you are going to see them again, you can just call them up later, or next time you see him, be like, hey, listen, you know, I just want to let you know, I didn't say anything at the time, because I didn't want to get into a knockdown drag out fight, but like, you're not allowed to talk to me like that anymore. You know, once you're more grounded and you're locked in. So it's the blanket statements ahead of time. It's just, no, I'm not leaning in, period. Yeah, but no. And not getting in, not listening to the yeah buts, not listening to yourself. That's been the biggest help of me for me, is creating blanket statements like this ahead of time when I am in clear thinking. Because that's the other thing that helps me with it, is I know that when I'm coming up with these blanket statements, like let's say I leaned into a situation that I shouldn't have, and then I get on the other side of it and I'm calm, I'm centered, and I'm going, oh man, I wish I didn't lean into that. Well, now all of a sudden I'm grounded, I'm thinking clear, and I know that I'm thinking clear. So that's when I can be like, okay, so what did it look like when that happened? Like, how did this unfold? Well, you had a moment when you were deciding whether to lean in or lean out, and then you were going to lean out, but then your ego said this. Oh, okay. And I'm not going to sit there. Like, I tried years and years and years ago to go to win the argument with the ego. I was like, oh, well, if my ego says this, I'm going to say that. Like, I tried that little game. For me, it doesn't work, because there's too many triggers and there's too many, you know, the ego knows me too well. So after trying that, I just learned blanket statements. The answer is just always no, always lean away. Never go in. And it's like, oh, okay. And I made that decision when I was thinking clearly. So I have that. That's like kind of back here too. Like if some doubt ever creeps in and, you know, goes, yeah, but now is the, you know, you're thinking clearly now. Like, I know that's BS, because there's no way I'm thinking more clearly when I'm all wrapped up and emotional than when I was sitting there alone, all centered and calm, and made this rule. Like, I kind of have that back there too. So it's kind of my reinforcement. The answer is always no. And I came to that conclusion when I was calm. And even if it's the stupidest thing I ever do in my life, which I'm sure it won't be, I did many stupid things, then I'll be a moron for a couple days because I made a bad choice. But I would rather make a bad choice by leaning away than leaning in, because every time I lean in, it's just worse. You know, so you got to nip it at the bud. Nip it at the bud. And be like, you know, don't even get into the conversation. Just have these blanket statements. You know, the one I've talked about before is when I get into crappy headspace. If I'm in crappy headspace, and, you know, it's really not too difficult to tell when you're in crappy headspace. I mean, especially if you're doing some work on yourself, because everything sucks when you're in crappy headspace. If you're pissed off, you're in crappy headspace. If everything sucks, you're in crappy headspace. Like, so when I find myself there, of course, the first thing I do is try to get myself out and go, Glenn, what's the problem here? You know, and sometimes I can navigate it and pull myself right out. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I'm in it. And if I'm in it, then it's like, okay, blanket statement. I am not allowed to think about anything. I am not allowed to come to any conclusions about anything. And if at all possible, I should probably not work. Well, work I can do. Like, you know, my work is working with clients, so I can always disengage what's going on with me personally, because I lock into their energy when I'm working with them. So that's wonderful. You know, like if I'm in crappy headspace, and I have to work with some clients, I'm like, oh, good, because I know as soon as I start working with them, I'm not going to be in crappy headspace anymore. You know, that's not just me. I mean, you know, it's kind of, they teach that in recovery. Like if all else fails, go help somebody else. Because it takes you out of your crap. And now you're focused on what's going on with them, you know? So it's a helpful tool. But when I'm in crappy headspace, I am not allowed to think about anything, especially nothing serious, because the only thing that's going to make sense is more crap. You know, I've talked about this several times. It's like, you know, and most people can relate. If you're in crappy headspace and somebody comes up to you and says, "Isn't it a beautiful day out?" Don't you just want to choke them? Like, why? Because it's different frequency. When you're in crappy headspace, you're vibrating at just negative, low, dense vibration. It's just, and then all of a sudden, sunshine and rainbows comes in, and it just, it's like oil and water. It doesn't mix, man. It doesn't even make sense. Beautiful day. It could be a gorgeous sunny day, and you're like, it's hot. The sun's beating down on me. It sucks. You know, like, you'll find something wrong. But if somebody else comes over to you and says, "Oh, isn't traffic horrible?" You're like, "Yes, let's get into that conversation. Traffic sucks." You know, like, so no, if you're only going to resonate with what matches the vibration you're at. So if you're, this is why I'm not allowed to think about anything or come to any conclusions, because, like, let's say, you know, I'll take some hypothetical thing, like my business. Be like, okay, so I'm in crappy headspace, and now I'm going to decide what I should do with my business. That conversation would go a little something like this. Like, well, should I continue my podcast, or should I let it go? Well, you might as well just let it go, because blah, 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 blah. I don't even know what the reasons would be. It doesn't matter, but it's going to come up with a myriad of negative reasons why I should stop doing the podcast. And it will, because nothing, like, because that's the headspace I'm in. And anything that doesn't match that doesn't even sound like it makes sense. So, because we're looking for more negativity, we want to match that vibration. You know, that saying, misery loves company. Like, it's the same in your own head, man. That misery wants to match more misery. And it's the only thing that makes sense. So like, you know, if I go, well, no, I think I should keep my podcast, because lots of people like listening to it, and it helps them, and it helps feed my business. I will tear those, even if those reasons are true, which they are, I will tear those reasons down. I'll be like, "Wow, there's other things that can feed your business. Like, you don't have to do this." Or, does it really help people? You know, I'll just rip it down, because the negativity matches what I'm looking for. So this is why the blanket statement is, if I'm in crappy headspace, I'm not allowed to think about anything, and I'm not allowed to come to any conclusions. The only thing I can do is work with clients. If I'm working on a computer, if I'm running errands, I try to minimize that. If I can, I will stop working and not work. Like, if I am out running errands, I will, if at all possible, like, let's say I'm going grocery shopping, and I realize that I'm in really crappy headspace, not just, just really crappy headspace. I will sit there and I'll go, "Okay, Glenn, do you have to go grocery shopping today? Like, can you eat a couple more days? Do you have time to go grocery shopping over the next 2 or 3 days? And if I do, I will turn that car around exactly where I am and go home. I'm telling you, I do this regularly. If I notice that I'm in crappy headspace, I will shut down my entire day whenever possible. Sometimes it's not possible, and I understand that not everybody can do that, because not everybody has their own business. And even if they do, sometimes they can't do that. So, you know, I'm fortunate in that way, but if I can, I will do it. If I can't shut down my day, I will minimize as much as humanly possible. I will take as much off my plate for that day as humanly possible, because I know that as soon as one little thing goes wrong, it's just going to piss me off. And that's not a good energy to function this stuff in. Now let's see some of the comments. Sarah, working through a course on IT about controlling reactivity. Yes, that's it. It's, you know, you like once you're already in it, you're already in it. So it's like, it's before that, you know, I actually, you know, it's funny. Like sometimes I can draw lines to me being the way my brain works and stuff when I was dysfunctional. And when I was like 18 or 19 or something, one of my good friends came home from college and I had a black eye as usual because I had been in a fight. And he was like, "You're still fighting?" I might even have been 20, 21 or something, 22. And he's like, "You're still fighting?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, you know, this happened." And he's like, "Dude, when are you going to grow up, man?" And that really, and I kind of blew it off in the moment because I didn't know what to say. But then the next day I started thinking about it and I was like, maybe I should stop fighting. So I went out and I got into another fight shortly after. And I was like, how come I can't stop fighting? So what I did is I started tracing the way my mind worked. I've talked about this on other podcasts. And I was like, you know, and I realized the reason I was getting into so many fights is because if somebody approached me, if there was like a possibility of a fight, I would immediately stand up for myself and like over the top. I would basically usually like insult the other person or put them into a position where they either had to tuck their tail between their legs in front of everybody or hit me. Those were the basically the only two options. So I was like, okay, so how do I not fight in that situation? And I realized, I was like, well, you're too far in. The energy is already going in that direction at that time. Like it's too late at that point. So what do you do before that? Like, is there something I can do before that, before I get to that place? And I realized, I was like, okay, well, I'll give them an out. Like if it looks like if I start thinking that a fight might occur, the first thing I'll do is I'll try to give the other person an out instead of just like a, you know, like kind of attacking them verbally. I'll try to give them an out. And then if they take it, then cool. Then I don't get into a fight, right? If they don't, well, then I'll get into a fight. But like, so this was, this was how my brain worked. And it actually helped me a lot. Like it kept me out of a lot of fights because I mean, it wasn't the perfect solution. So I was still getting in them, but it was a lot more rare because I trained myself to, you know, I just traced my steps, so to speak. You know, so it's like, okay, when I'm here, I'm too far. I can't control it. Okay. What can I do before there? What can I do before I get into the place that I can't control it to prevent myself from getting into the place where I can't control it? You see, this is the questions that you need to ask yourself. This is how you regain control over your life. Is, you know, trace your steps, go take a particular situation that you're in. Of course, you know, hopefully we're not talking about fighting, but I mean, you still could be talking about arguing, you know, like a verbal fight. So like, look at that and go, okay, like, oh, well, we're really in it there. Okay. Well, that's too late. Obviously you're already in it. So what happens before? What did they say? And what did you say? Oh, that's an example of us insulting each other. Okay, well, once you get to the point where you're insulting each other, you're probably too far in. So what did you say right before you insulted each other? Do you see? So that's how you draw steps backwards. You work backwards from the problem backwards. And then you can get, and you can see the steps that you took before. And then you can just keep taking one more step backwards until you find yourself in a scenario where you're in control. And then make your adjustment there. Okay, so next time somebody says this type of thing to me, I'm going to, like, next time somebody says something I disagree with, I know that there's a possibility of an argument. So I'll just say, this is my opinion. I respect your right to have your opinion, or, you know, something like that. That can help keep you out of arguments. Or as soon as I notice somebody has a difference of opinion with me, as soon as I recognize that, I'm going to make a statement like, you know, we're all individuals, so we all have our own opinions. Like, that's going to be, and then who knows what I'll say after that, but I'm going to, like, that's going to be the next thing, because it kind of sets the groundwork that we're not arguing. Like, I'm not trying to convince you of, or maybe that's what I'll say. I'll say, well, this is just my opinion. I'm not trying to convince you that it should be yours. Like, that's what I'll say as soon as I feel a conversation going in that direction. Like, so do you see how if you work backwards and you find where you're still in control of yourself right before the controversy starts, right before the drama starts, right before you get sucked into the energy of the argument or the problem, like right then, that's when you make your little blanket statement. That's when you make your little adjustment statement. That's when you put your caveat of action right there. So hopefully that's helpful. Let's see. My mom used to say, if you are feeling like crap, do something nice for someone else. Yeah, see exactly what I was talking about. Oh, Carl, thanks for watching. I'm glad this is helping. Anytime your ego tells you to stop doing your podcast, feel free to reach out to those of us who listen regularly and we'll tell that ego a thing or two. Oh, thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that. I don't like how easily it is to be thrown off my good energy if my partner is in a negative mood. Right. So I haven't. Okay. You lost me, Denise. I was just going to go after this comment. I don't like how easily it is to be thrown off my good energy if my partner is in a negative mood. And then the next comment said, I haven't dated in a year now, so I have no drama. So I'm assuming that this was before when you were in a relationship. So you know, then you can really use that technique. Like next time you're in a relationship, you know, if you can look at it and be like, okay, you know, what happened? What happened when oh, that's been the whole in the past, that was your norm. So, yeah. So, I mean, so a lot of time, I guess there's really two ways to look at this. And actually, this is really, actually, I'm glad this just came up. I think this is going to be helpful for a lot of people. So one answer is what I just explained. So it's basically, you know, going like when you're in a relationship, if you're, you know, try to find out why, like, why do I get thrown off when my partner is in a negative mood? You know, if you understand the why, that's going to help you. But you can also use the backward steps. Okay, my partner walked into the room and said something negative. And then I said this, you know, like you can backstep sometimes. You know, you can backstep. So you can check that technique and see if that works, okay? The technique that I just explained. So that's a possibility. Understanding why is very helpful. So like, why do you get sucked in? Like, do you take it personally? Then you can, you know, work on not taking things personally. Do you think that it's wrong for somebody else to be in a bad mood when you're in a good mood? Are you swayed too easily? You know, look into it and understand it. And that can be very helpful as well. But the thing that just kind of popped up when I was reading your comment was, like, because what I, you know, as I'm reading your comments, I'm like, okay, this was before, but she hasn't dated in a year, but this is how it was before. And immediately I saw like, okay, cool. So it doesn't have to be like this in the future. So if it doesn't, you know, like, really, one of the biggest problems is people go relationship to relationship to relationship, and they never take a break in between to learn what they need to learn from the last relationship, to really absorb it, to, you know, there's a learning curve to everything. Like when people come here and do plant medicine, there's an integration period after you do the plant medicine. That's very important. There's an integration period after every one of my podcasts. There's an integration period after every one of my sessions with a client. Like, the integration period is important. There's an integration period after you get into a car accident. There's an integration period after you get sick, or while you're sick. There's an integration period for everything. Your life is your laboratory. It's your classroom. You are learning with everything that's transpiring in your life. If everything's going the wrong way, that's because you're off track. There's something to learn there. It's not, you're not being punished. You know, like, you can actually learn something from the negative things that are going on. I mean, sometimes it's just acceptance. It's possible. Most times, though, there's a lesson to it. You know, this is why I Google everything. What? Somebody has kidney stones? Spiritual meaning of kidney stones. What? You're constipated? Spiritual meaning of constipated. You know, like, what? You banged your knee? Spiritual meaning of knee. Yes, even if you just bang it. Like, sometimes it's an accent. Sometimes it's telling you something. But all I have to do is Google it, and I say spiritual meaning of knee, or spiritual meaning, you know, oh, I got hit in the back. I have, you know, like, that was one I Googled before. I broke my back when I was younger. So, of course, back pain. And it's like, oh, lower back pain usually has to do with fear of lack and insecurity in the financial arena. Oh, really? Like, when I was younger, I was always broke. I was always fearful, and I was always having back pain. My body was trying to tell me something, you know? So learn in your life is your schoolroom. So learn as much as you can and integrate those lessons as much as you can. But so now that you've had a year off and from dating, then, you know, you can, you know, I mean, I know you a little bit, Denise, so I know that you've been working on yourself, but, you know, I'm talking to everybody here. So take time to look at your relationships, learn from them, and integrate what you were supposed to learn, and then go get into another one. You know, that's how you grow. You don't grow by having a crappy relationship, ending it, and then going and getting into another crappy relationship, and then ending it, and then going and getting into another crappy relationship. And you go, geez, I mean, you know, like, you're just repeating. Yeah, I think we know that by now, hopefully. Yeah, you're just repeating the pattern. Like, I mean, you got to stop. Learn what you're supposed to learn. So, you know, one of the more profound experiences I had is I had my friend Brian take me through a hypnosis, which was basically like a guided meditation, where I went and I looked at all my past relationships, because I was like, I am going to learn from these. You know, so after one relationship, my last like major relationship ended, I did this guided meditation, this hypnosis, where I got walked. I just went through all my relationships. You know, I started with my parents and my first girlfriend and my ex-wife, and then my next girlfriend, and Mateo popped up in there during it. So I just, and it was like, the relationship would come up on this big movie screen in my mind, and I would start seeing things, and then I could ask questions, and it was like, oh, okay, well, what's that about? You know, what was I supposed to learn from that? Oh, you were supposed to learn this. Oh, wow. So I take gaining clarity on past relationships very seriously. I mean, it's, I think I've probably grown. That's one of the things that I've grown the most through. It's been one of my best teachers, you know? So if you do that, if you not only learn from your past relationships, but you take a little time to integrate that those lessons, and you take time to work on yourself just generally, like meditating, find out about yourself, you know, like find out what you, your wants are when you're not concerned about somebody else's wants all the time, and, you know, really get to know yourself better and practice staying in good space. You know, like I said, your life is your laboratory, it's your school. So like, you know, we can get sucked out of our good energy in other ways than just relationships. Maybe it's while you're driving, maybe it's while you go to the grocery store, maybe, who knows, you know, but every time you get sucked out of your good energy, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity for you to do it better next time. Go, oh, wow, look how quickly I got sucked out. Okay, how can I stay in better? Well, I don't know. It seems like I always get frustrated when I'm in the grocery store. Okay, well, what if you sat in your car for 5 minutes before you went, got out of your car to go into the grocery store, and you just centered yourself in good energy? And you set the intention that it doesn't matter what is, you know, what transpires in there, I'm not letting myself get sucked out. And then you practice it. And then down the road, if you do get into another relationship, it's going to be that much harder because you're going to have practiced. Like getting sucked out of energy. So this might be helpful too. It doesn't matter what the specifics are. Okay. So this is something that people get caught up in too much, that like, everybody thinks that their situation is different, or every situation in their life is different. Well, I guess sucked out of my good energy in a grocery store, but my real problem is getting sucked out of my energy when I'm with my partner. Like, that's what I really work on. It's the same thing. You're either getting sucked out of your energy or you're not, period. Like, so if you work on it at the grocery store, you're going to get better at it at home. Like, that's just, it's, don't worry about the specifics. They're just symptoms. Those are just symptoms of the problem. The problem's down here. And if you don't heal it, it's going to, if you can't stay in your energy, then sometimes you won't stay in your energy with your partner. Sometimes you won't stay in your energy at the grocery store. Sometimes you won't stay in your energy at work. Those aren't three different things. It's all the same thing. So just practice staying in your energy. You can even practice it when you're alone. When you're not getting sucked out of it, you can even practice it, because it's just about staying in your energy. I mean, technically, you kind of are getting sucked out of it, I guess, if you just drop into unconsciousness. But you can practice brushing your teeth and staying in the present moment instead of thinking what you're going to do during the day. That will help you not get sucked out of your energy. Do you see what I mean? Like, what I'm saying is just get clear on the foundational piece. The foundational piece is getting not being in conscious energy. That's it. So anything that is other than not staying in conscious energy is possibilities for you to work on, so you can get better at staying in your positive energy, conscious energy. So you can practice it, brushing your teeth, taking a shower. You don't have to wait until you're in a relationship again. But the more you can stay grounded and the more you can anchor, and this is with all things. You know, everything that's going wrong in your life, or you perceive going wrong, has a lesson underneath it. And this is, I guess, one of the things that I do well as a coach, is like, when people are talking, I'm not I'm not even really paying attention to what their words are, Like I'll just give you an example. You know, like it was when Denise was posting, right? So Denise posted, I'll show you guys. I don't like how easily it is to be thrown off my good energy if my partner is in negative mood. That was the only stimuli I had, so I was going to talk about it. Right before I started talking about it, all of a sudden, I saw this post. I haven't dated in a year now, so I have no drama, huh? Now, my brain did not focus on, like, I mean, at first it caught me. I was like, wait a minute, she's in it. It happens in a relationship, but she's not in a relationship. Like, whatever. For a moment, but my brain immediately drew a line underneath. And it went like, negative energy, partner is getting sucked out, haven't been in one. Ooh, this is, so she's probably getting better at it now. Like, which basically has nothing to do with either one of her comments. Like, my brain went, she's had a year alone. She's probably better at it now. That's what my brain said when I was reading these. So it skipped right over the specifics. And it went to, she can work on it. During the year that she's out of a relationship, she probably already has been good like that. So do you see how, I don't know if that's the best example, but do you see how I go underneath it and get the point of it? Because getting sucked out of good energy when by a partner is specific. That's on the surface. Haven't dated in a year now. That's specific. That's on the surface. My brain looked underneath that and said, if she was having trouble with something and she's had some time alone, she's probably getting better at it. And it would have done that with this example. It would have done that if we were talking about a job that she hadn't been at a year. Like it, my brain automatically goes underneath and finds that thread underneath, because that's always more important. That's always more insightful. And once I saw that thread underneath, it was like, oh, okay. So she's probably, the year is wonderful to work on it. I was like, I said, oh, I'm glad this came up because there's another thing that I can talk to, because I saw what the lesson is there is that you can work on yourself outside of these situations, or in similar situations, you can work on yourself. And then when you get back into them, you'll be better at it. So that, you know, so that's where the brain kept going. And I mean, I know that my brain does this like automatically, but the reason I explain it is because if we slow down, you guys can do it too. A lot of it is slowing down, you know, because and asking yourself questions, becoming curious about your life and why you do things. I'm curious about everything in my life, like especially how I act. Like, you know, I could do anything. I could walk into the bathroom and like move a towel or something, and I'll be like, why did I do that? Like, I'm curious. Did I have to do that? Was that an obsessive thing that I normally do out of habit? Or is there some reason? And then sometimes I'll be like, oh, well, yeah, I think that goes back to when I was living with roommates. If you didn't take care of your towel, they would use yours and it would get disgusting and stuff like that. So maybe it stems back to that. That's not true. Although it sounded like it could be. But like I'm kind of always doing that in a playful way. It's not a real overly serious dissecting way. It's just kind of this whimsical curiosity way. And I don't do it all the time. It's just I kind of do it regularly. That's all. So and I think it's a really helpful thing of why. You know, how I learn these things about myself. And I want to share these techniques with you guys so you can share these, you know, so you can do it in your life. Maybe not exactly like me, but I mean, you can try it, play around with it. Let's see. What was Denise's last comment? I didn't read. I don't even want to think of a partner. I'm finally reparenting myself and on my hero's journey, and I'm loving just taking care of me and spending time in all the nature and shoreline around me. Well, and that's beautiful. You know, as long as you're enjoying it, then that's probably what you're supposed to be doing. You know, like really, life is a lot more simple than, you know, than we give it credit for. We tend to overthink things. So it's like, you know, yeah, okay. So you're reparenting yourself. You're on your hero's journey. I'm loving just taking care of me and spending time in a like, that's all good, 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 good. Like, so why would you change that? You know, some people will sit in that situation and go, yes, but am I working on myself enough? Should I get into a relationship? Should I not get in? Should I do this? Should I do that? Like, we don't have to overcomplicate it. If you feel if you're learning more about yourself and you feel yourself getting healthier and stronger, and like you choose words when you talk to people, you choose words like I'm loving just taking care of me, then you're doing the right thing. Then you're doing the right thing. You know, well, some people say they don't, and that's even more important than I don't even want to think of a partner, because that type of thinking can be fueled. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it can be fueled by resentment, negativity, frustration from past experiences. That type of statement can be fueled by that. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. None of my business. But like, there's no confusion when you're sitting there going, I'm just loving taking care of myself. Nobody says that when it's not true. I mean, unless they know they're lying. Like if somebody might say it to me, like sometimes people try to BS me, you know, but I can read energy, so it doesn't work. You know, sometimes people will be like, no, I'm really happy. And I'm like, no, you're not. I can tell by the way you said that. You know, like I can feel the energy coming at you. You're trying to convince yourself. You're not convincing me, you know. But when somebody authentically just feels or says, I'm just loving taking care of me. Like, ka-ching, good. You're in the right space doing the right things, you know? If you don't feel like that, and I mean, I was going to say, if you don't feel like that, there might be some work to do. There's always some work to do, but that's no big deal. I mean, you know, like, I don't know. That's a whole nother topic. Sometimes I think people use that as a crutch. Oh, I'm just a work in progress. I'm not perfect. We say that too much. Like, I understand that we're always going to be working on ourselves. I understand that, like, I'm going to be better next month than I am this month and next year than I am this year. I understand that. But, like, let's not use it as a crutch either, because people will, start thinking of yourself as better. Because you are. If you're working on yourself, you're better than you were yesterday. You're better than you were last year. So own that. That's more important than walking around going, well, I still got some work to do. Like, yeah, no kidding. We all do. You know, like, but are you owning the work that you've already done? That's how we progress. Just sitting there thinking you're not good enough and you're never going to be good enough, that's what keeps you stuck. Okay, so be careful of the energy in which you say things. So yes, we always will have more work to do, but it's, and we're always like, we're not going to wake up one day and go, geez, I haven't worked on myself in 5 years. I was working on myself really good, but then I forgot to do it. And I didn't do anything for 5 years. Like, whoops. Like, that's probably not going to happen. It's very, very unlikely that's going to happen, especially in this day and age. Spirituality is all around. The shift is happening. You can't stay still anymore. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, you could. Not anymore. You're being pushed to grow. So you're going to keep growing. So that's going to keep happening. You know, if you're any level of aware at all, you're going to continue growing. You're going to continue working on yourself. And if you don't, your life is going to get so dramatically crappy so quickly that you'll start anyway. So it doesn't take a lot of conscious energy to keep working on ourselves. This is my point. But something that most people don't do, which we really need to start doing more of, is owning the progress that we made. You know, most people have been working on themselves for 10 years and all they know is that there's more work to do. It's like, well, like, who are you compared to who you were 10 years ago? It's like night and day. You have to start looking at yourself differently and start owning that work that you did and start really letting that self-love rise and that self-esteem rise and start functioning and interacting with life like the person that you've become. That's enormously important, enormously important. And most people don't do it. They never stop and own the work that they've done. And then they wonder why the progress is so slow. It's like, well, you're still interacting with life the way you were 10 years ago before you grew. So yeah, you're going to have a lot of the similar experiences that you did 10 years ago. Because you still think of yourself the same and you still behave a lot of the same ways. Yeah, you learn to control some of your behaviors, but that's control energy, right? Own it. If you become it, now you don't have to control every word that comes out of your mouth. You don't have to control every situation. You just own it and you be it. And then you start automatically behaving differently. When you think of yourself differently, you're going to behave differently. Like if you had low self-esteem and people crapped on you and you've been working on yourself for a couple of years, and you're still walking around saying that you have low self-esteem and people crap on you, that's a problem. It doesn't take 2 years to stop people from crapping on you. It doesn't. Hire me, we'll get through it in a very short period of time. All you got to do is fully understand it, take action, and you will shift your vibration and you'll start behaving a different way. You know, so if you've been working on something for years and you still view yourself as that person, there's a much quicker way, you know. So, well, that's going to do it for tonight. Thank you, guys. That was fun. And, you know, I'm always honest. I'm always authentic. I'm always transparent. I like to think so anyway, maybe not always, but because I'm a work in progress. But really, in the beginning of this, I've gone on not knowing what I was going to talk about today. But this was a little extra because of the drama flying around and stuff like that. So there was a little my brain kept coming in even at the beginning of the podcast. You know, maybe some of you that can read energy or just focus in on me might be able to pick up on it. There was times where my brain was going, I don't, dude, like, you're not picking up on anything. Like, what are you going to talk about? Maybe you should just end this. Like, it was trying to get those things in, but I've been doing this too long where I go, just push that stuff aside and keep rolling. And then all of a sudden we dropped into this topic, and I think it was really nice. So, my pleasure, Sarah. Thanks for tuning in. Yes. So, all right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. And I think I'm going to do a podcast on rejection soon. So keep your ears open for that. And that'll do it for tonight. So thank you. Give me some reviews, like, you know, wherever you listen to the podcast and stuff. That's always helpful. We will talk with you soon. Peace.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.